Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brayden Harrington here with Sino Evil live at postwrestling.com and whatever podcast app you found us in, maybe a little bit later on, maybe a day later or so. But it is Tuesday, March 18th, 2025, and we're here to chat about some NXT. Sino, you know why, because you too, like me, are an NXT friend.
Friends. Did I do it right?
Yeah, I
have to be honest. I'm a little proud of myself. I was trying like this countdown thing, transition right into the cover, right into the song. And I was like, literally on the fly, I'm like, let me see if this works. And I have to say the transition was pretty flawless. I have to pat myself on the back.
Very hard. Your transitions are sick, bro. Love your transitions. Yes, welcome to Up Next. Davey Portman on assignment. He has taken the night off. He's gone to New York City. I believe you're going to meet up with him tomorrow.
Yeah, in about 12 hours from now, I'll be with him in the city, and I will be exploring a little bit and watch some Broadway, maybe some comedy, some food, you know, show him around a little bit.
Beautiful. Well, I'm sure you guys will have some fun and follow the socials because I'm sure you'll post some shenanigans while in the city. I bet they're at Rudy's right now eating a hot dog and drinking cheap drinks. Shout out Rudy's in New York City.
Yeah, I think he said he was landing around like 9:30. So he should be, he should be up and about in the city, I would say.
He should be already. I mean, he was probably recovering from our St. Patrick's Day last night where we kind of karaoke hopped, split the G a bunch, and it was great. And I'm sure I was fine, but I know he had to work and then went right to the airport. And well, thank you for jumping in, making the hot tag here to talk about some NXT during Stand and Deliver season, Sino. So we got to get ready for whatever's to come, big things to come with a hot show last week. Some might say, some being, I think, myself and Davey Portman last week, that NXT Roadblock was perhaps the best TV episode of NXT of all time. Is that too high of a praise, Mr. Sino?
I'm glad you guys feel that way. I've been seeing the consensus on Cage Match and online in general, because I was there in the building, and it was hot in there. Like, literally, my ears are still ringing from my time last week. And I have to agree. It's tough to say it's the best show I've been at live NXT-wide. I can't compare it to, like, TakeOvers. But, yeah, NXT TV, for sure, it's got to be up there.
Yeah. I think, like, I off the top of my head, there's been some epic matches and some moments on, you know, free TV, but from like front to back, I do think that Roadblock was one of the most solid episodes of like NXT TV. Tell me a better episode. Like, I don't know. It was fantastic. And you were there live. So
yeah, I don't think there was one. I was trying to compare it to other like NXT shows. And there were some that like had high ratings, but if you look at the matches weren't rated that high. So I'm guessing some sort of moment must have happened on them. Mm-hmm. But this was like the show was rated high and all five matches were rated like 8 and above. So that's like unheard of for NXT TV, especially like in the last like 5 years or so. So yeah, I'm proud to be there. It was like the crowd was exciting. Excited, as you saw when I called in last week, you guys behind me yeeting away. And yeah, it was definitely a party atmosphere in the theater at the Madison Square Garden.
Yes, absolutely. It sounded like it was a lot of fun. And then you also, we chatted with you just briefly, and you were mentioning how you took your son and you guys were like front row on the ramp for Monday Night Raw at MSG. And then the video is, and the photos have come out since of yourself and your son, like what, getting zero miedo with Penta. And did he sign? Yeah. Did he sign his sign?
No, he didn't sign it. So like my son, I was like, who do you want to make signs for? And he said, Jey Uso and Penta. We knew Jey was going to be there because he had a match schedule, but I'm like, all right, I don't know if Penta's going to be there. Like, there's nothing scheduled, but we can make a sign. And then as soon as like they started setting up his pyro, I'm like, I think this is Penta. Mm-hmm. And then like the second his music hit, my son went berserk. And Penta caught him with, you know, he saw him with the sign, and he brought the camera guy over, and they went ahead and did a little segment together, and that was on Main Event. Penta went in and posted it on his Instagram page. So yeah, my son was over the moon telling everybody that he was yeeting and cero miedo-ing all night long at Madison Square Garden. So I think I give him a memory to remember. I think 10, 15 years from now, he's gonna be on some podcast. They're going to be asking him, you know, how'd you get into wrestling? And he's gonna be like, yeah, so one night, you know, my dad brought me to Madison Square Garden. I was me and Penta, you know, the current WWE world champion. He'll be one saying day. At that point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, one day.
It was great. It was a great magical night for sure. You know, Madison Square Garden is always awesome, but they definitely delivered and gave a good show. You know, we didn't get John Cena, but you know, we saw what he said last night.
Yeah. Before we kind of talk about some NXT, I would love to chat about Mr. John Cena in Brussels. Monday Night Raw at 3 p.m. on a Monday. Call me crazy. I love that. Can we just do that every week? Can we just have Raw in the afternoon? Whether you're at work, whether you work from home, whether you watch it on replay later, like just having it like that was pretty refreshing. Because like I've been catching up into it because it's WrestleMania season and I do try to watch everything. And Raw's been pretty good. And a lot of the stories going into WrestleMania, I'm pretty like psyched about. And doing this European tour is genius. Like the crowds are obviously going to be hot for everything. So that great opening with the silence and then John Cena's theme song hits and the sea of boos, they knew what to do. Brussels, he's not the cool heel who got new music, new gear, all that. He's still just John Cena. And like overall, I enjoyed his heel promo, but then like they definitely made it so that Cody like cooked him at the end, calling him a whiny bitch. So like there will be a clapback from Cena, I'm sure, but it still left me wondering like, oh, why didn't he discuss anything including The Rock or like
you gotta save it. He's gonna be like in the next like three cities in Europe. So you gotta, you know, space it out.
Yeah. The 17 time stuff and like, but for a first time, like being like, you don't deserve new music. And then of course the cut to the iconic kid in the crowd. Yes. Like, man,
that stunned face. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so it was a pretty awesome moment in like, dare I say, Raw history. It was just so cool to see the crowd just booing him. But what did you think in some key parts? It was pretty long too, that promo.
Yeah, it was like 20-25 minutes. First of all, the 3 o'clock start time was amazing because like, you know, my son's on a high from wrestling by being at the show. He's been playing 2K nonstop. So like when I picked him up from school, he's like, you know, what do you want to do? And I'm like, hey, Monday Night Raw just started. Like literally it's starting right now as I'm picking up from school. So we went home and watched it live. And yeah, the whole promo was great. The kids in the crowd with that stunned look. You had that one guy that had like a Harry Potter style, like newspaper, like sign. Like,
yes.
I was like, well, this is amazing. But yeah, I think it was the right thing to do. If they would have gave him new music and new gear and everything, he would have been the cool heel. So yeah, he's like, I'm not going to give you what you want. You know, I'm going to do the same thing that I've been doing. And you had to deal with it basically. So I think eventually he will get new music. Maybe you save that for Mania, like something different, some sort of different presentation when he actually has a match. But yeah, I think they're going to space it out. You know, he can't give everything away in the first promo. So next week, you know, he's going to say something about maybe The Rock, or maybe he'll mention something else. I'm going for the title. Like, you kind of have to space it up. There's plenty of weeks before Mania. So
yeah, there's still a lot to go. And like they already promoted, they're going to have another like face to face. So it's like, there's going to be a lot more of it. So I think Cena, again, will get his rebuttal, but I still like, I really enjoyed it, but it did make me go like, hey, why didn't you discuss these things? But it's like, hey, hold on. We'll get there. Let them cook, I guess, as they say. But he still, in a way, said, fuck them kids, though. And, you know, I appreciated it. So crazy. And then the it was a Willy Wonka reference, right? You get nothing.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch Willy Wonka, right, he seems like this big bad heel. He makes the kids cry. He hates the kids. But at the end of it, you find out he was really a good guy all along. So is that the story of John Cena? Are we going to get the, you know, John Cena in the chocolate factory here where he's going to be like, you know, mean to all these kids? They're going to be like, why are you such a mean guy? And at the very, very end, he's going to pull the same kid that was over there in Brussels. He's going to bring him back and pull him to the side and be like, hey, listen, this is, I had to do this. You know, I had to do this to kind of a,
well, is that like it will be his excuse? Like, I wanted to bring out the best of Cody Rhodes, but we're going to get a Rock Hogan situation in Vegas where the crowd probably cheer for John Cena. I think, right? Like, so maybe that is something, I don't know, but fine speech, John Cena, fine speech, waiting to see some more. Cause I thought that it was very just Cody comes in and you're just like, yeah, you're a little whiny bitch. He's like, oh shit, mic drop. So definitely this is a big match. They've done a good job with this so far. So this is the biggest match like you're looking forward to for WrestleMania, like full stop weekend. This is the one. So I imagine this is the night two, like main event closing, you know, The Rock and everything. Maybe Stone Cold now that he's being advertised.
Yeah.
For meet and greets, right?
He's like, gonna be there. Yeah. Do you think they're gonna do like night one where it's like a tag match? Like you think you want to see The Rock and Cena team up, right? So do you do Rock and Cena versus like, I don't know, Cody and somebody. I don't know
who. I don't know.
Like, I don't know who you would do for night one.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think we just do
no Cena Rock at all wrestling.
Like, Rock is in Cena's corner, maybe.
Yeah.
And like has something to do with it. But I think like, the whole thing was, hey, The Rock's not going to wrestle at WrestleMania. It's like, yeah, I won't be able to wrestle, but I'll be able to like be there and do something.
So do you put Stone Cold in Cody's corner and do that Stone Cold Rock face something we didn't get last year?
That would be pretty crazy. Like, yeah. So what, Cody comes out and goes, wait, hold on, I got someone like as well.
And the glass breaks. Like, you don't reveal it to Mania itself. Yeah, that would be pretty sick.
I bet Austin was like, because I don't know if we've necessarily heard, you know, why. People assumed, you know, first Mania last year without Vince, maybe Stone Cold didn't want to do it. But like, we were there. It was still an amazing moment with Undertaker. But if you ask most people, they're like, oh, but imagine it was Stone Cold. Like, already, like, 10 out of 10 moment, one of the best moments ever, like WrestleMania moments ever. But people are still like, ah, but what if it was Austin? And like, maybe we do get that.
And then Austin stuns Cody and Cena wins the title.
Oh,
and
no, Cena, Ron, Rock, no.
Austin standing together Travis Scott.
No. Yeah, with Travis Scott. With Travis Scott, of absolutely. Course. Can't forget about him. He needs to get his. That receipt is on its way, Travis Scott. This is a fun like story. Having Cena as heel is just so refreshing. I want to hear him just go off and... It was good. Anything else from Monday Night Raw that has your interest going towards WrestleMania?
Well, I know they teased something for next week with Jey Uso and a mystery partner against A-Town Down Under, and the fact that it's in Glasgow, Scotland, you know, say his name, he appears, right? So I enjoyed the segment with Rhea, Io, and Bianca. Now people are like, oh, that's so phony. She just like took the contract and signed it. But that's the same thing that happened at WrestleMania 20, right? Like, that's how we got that triple threat match. So it's been done before. It's not something that is unheard of. I just think that's the right call as far as, like, I don't want every match to be a triple threat, but I feel like that one's the right call to do Bianca, Io, and Rhea. And you could always save, like, the singles matches for later on, but that was a pretty good segment with those three. The table didn't break, but it's okay, it was still a good segment.
Wasn't this like Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 20 with the build to that?
Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and somebody else, I forgot.
Similar, like we're going through the Shawn Triple H playbook of like, oh yeah, yeah, let's go that way. That match should be awesome, that triple threat, EO, Bianca, Rhea. Yeah, sign me up for sure. I'm really loving the mystery of who is Americano Grande. Is that his name?
I think so. Yeah, he's either a Starbucks drink or Chad Gable, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm loving that, and clearly going to like lead to some big Americans versus Mexicans match, I guess, at WrestleMania. But like all the Lucha, all the LWO versus the American-made guys, like that's pretty sweet. And then like Penta is not even involved in that because that's what started this whole Lucha thing with Chad Gable. But now he's off going for the IC title.
That face-off, the way they ended the show with Breaker and Penta in a face-off, that really got me like excited. I think this is going to turn into a multi-man match because he's still got Finn Balor involved. Dominic is involved in one way. So I don't think it's going to be a straight-up one-on-one match. But I feel like, that match would be sick. Just those two, Breaker and Penta. But I feel like we're going to get some more people involved.
a multi-person. Yeah. Like if we get some sort of maybe, I know we did the ladder tag last year for like the tag titles, but we could do a multi-man ladder match one of these days. Either it's for the tag or for the IC, because already that sounds pretty crazy. But like Penta just already just seems like a hot star with WWE. Like instantly people are like, this guy is sick. Like your kid like right away is like, oh my God, this is the great. You look at this dude. He's the coolest looking wrestler going.
I told my son that Rey Fénix is debuting, and he never seen Rey Fénix before. All I had to tell him was he's Penta's brother, and the fact that that's all he needs to know. Oh, that's his brother? Okay, I'm sold. So I kind of like the fact that they're probably going to separate them and put Fénix on SmackDown. Keep them separated for a while, have Fénix kind of build himself up, and then eventually going to have that either like that Rumble spot where they kind of face off, or they're going to have to team up to face somebody in the future. But yeah, for at least a year, six to eight months to a year, just keep them separated. Why not? Like, Penta's on a roll right now. Don't mess it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep them separated for a little while and then have them tag or face each other at least again. I'd love to see that. I think they're doing a great job with a lot of the stuff going into WrestleMania. So things are definitely heating up, and it's so sick to see Penta killing it. And then, yeah, Rey Fénix coming in and who else? I mean, Dom was like, Dominic in Judgment Day is like, hey, maybe Penta should join us.
Yeah.
Maybe this leads to someone else like Karrion Kross joining them, Aleister Black joining them.
It's a person that I thought of for sure. I think he could definitely fit in and you know, kind of make the Judgment Day a little bit more serious for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was some Raw talk there. We did talk about a show. Me and Davey do a show every Sunday. In fact, you can catch us live this Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Search Poison Rana in your podcast app or YouTube and give us a follow. Go to poisonrana.ca for links of everything that we do, because we chatted a whole lot about some build to WrestleMania and AEW Dynamite and some Revolution and so much more on Sunday. So that's on the free feed there. There's a lot of shows up on the free feed, including a Eagles Don't Hunt Flies, where the Dean Ambrose chat all about some John Moxley. I believe Eric Marcotte joined the crew for this episode. I haven't listened yet, but I know
Eric is everywhere. He's on The Champ Is Here. He's on Eagles Don't Hunt Flies.
This is true. Yeah. I mean, I also got a plug Shot in the Dark, Sino, your 15 minutes or less for free, where you fill in everybody on all the wrestling. Ring of Honor. What else do you watch? TNA?
Yeah, everything. So for this week, it's going to be kind of a special episode because I'll be covering the House of Glory show that just happened this past weekend, where we had Mercedes Moné in her first indie match since before WWE, taking on Indy Hartwell. A couple other things happened on their Private Party, Zilla Fatu versus Dijak. So I'll be covering that. Whenever there's like a big event, like a House of Glory show, I usually cover that as well. So I'll be talking about that this Thursday for sure.
Excellent. Yeah, everyone loves Shot in the Dark, where you fill them in on all the results and your little tidbits and like cherry picks of, hey, check this out because this was good. And of course, you talk about, wow, Women of Wrestling. So
yes,
the best show going, secret, low key. Not everyone knows about it, but
you got to find out who Catalina Speed is and how does she relate to NXT. There is a connection between this new wow superstar, Catalina Speed, and somebody that we saw tonight. So find out on Shot in the Dark this Thursday.
I got excited because it's like Sparks, what's his name? Who's the wrestler I love?
Bob Holly. Sparks. Oh,
not Bubba Sparks.
I'm like Sparks.
Sparky Plug, not Sparks. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, it's basically like a 2025 version of Thurman Sparky Plug. Yeah.
I got my favorite characters on WoW though. BK Rhythm, Goldie Collins, and what is the Animal Control?
Animal Control is on there as well. There was actually, believe it or not, there was a WoW reference on Evolve this week as well. Somebody who wrestled was like, you know, I signed with Women of Wrestling, and I'm like, I don't remember seeing you at. I have no idea who this person is. I'm like, were you one of the women that's in the crowd? Like, whenever I mean, it has to be because I've never seen this person wrestle on WoW, but she made it known that she was signed to Women of Wrestling. I'm like, we get a WoW reference on WWE programming. So that's like the one promotion that they have to, you know, they sent Natalya to GCW, right? They sent her to Bloodsport. They sent her to NWA. Now they got to send Natalya to Women of Wrestling. You got to have, you know, Natalya versus the Classmaster. That's gotta be the main event.
The Classmaster versus Natty. That would be the big match. Right now, like, you know, keeping kayfabe, following TV storyline, Classmaster is the champion.
Yes, so she's a champion.
That would be interesting. I do like that now they're doing the Holly Swag versus her mother. Like
mother
they're doing that.
Daughter,
so Big Rig Betty versus Holly Swag is like the next big thing. And they've done it. If you've watched the wrestlers documentary on Netflix about OVW, they're just basically recreating it right now in WoW. Yeah. I'm sure it won't get as bloody, but
But she's pretty much morphing into the same character that she's been using in the indies. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you never know what could happen on WOW, Women of Wrestling, but we love it. We appreciate the Women of Wrestling. But yes, listen to that on Shot in the Dark. Listen to all the other shows. And hey, we have a Patreon. We do a lot of podcasts covering tons of different wrestling from all over the place. We were talking about John Cena. And well, I talk a lot about John Cena, it seems like, lately, because we've been doing a show called The Champ Is Here, a podcast series once a month, where Davey Portman and myself, Braden Harrington, are going through John Cena's 16-time WWE title reigns. And well, this is now episode 7. Yes, every month we've been going through John Cena's title reigns, from the reign itself to the highlights, all the TV. We cover everything, and we've had some amazing guests over the last few months. But this episode, we're looking at reign number 7. And we were joined by Post Wrestling right here, postwrestling.com, Jack Wannon and Eric Marcotte, two Canadian boys who were huge Cena fans when they were 10 years old, watching guest GMs on 2009 Monday Night Raw.
I know we've been making this joke in the secret BSK chat for like about a year now about Eric and Jack sounding very similar. Yes. I listened to this. I didn't watch the video. I listened to it, and there was some times where they transitioned from Eric to Jack and vice versa, and I could not tell them apart.
They're twin magic.
Very similar, yes. The new Bella Twins of Post Wrestling, yes.
They did a fantastic job, and shout out the boys. And I know Davey and I are going to keep going. Maybe John Cena gets his 17th run, but we're going to keep going with these episodes. And we have some big, big shows lined up, so stay tuned, because the next few episodes we got lined up are going to knock your socks off. And if that's not enough, we have tons of other shows over on the Patreon. Go give us a shot. Like I said, $5 to get a whole month's access, and it gives you access to all the other pods, connecting your RSS feed to your podcast apps. It's beautiful. We recently covered WrestleMania 18. We've looked at the Rumble 02. We've been all over the place with our movies. We chatted about Anora.
Yes.
The stripper icon movie that's now on Disney Plus. So that makes her a Disney princess.
Annie is a Disney princess. I'm so happy. I mean, the first time you heard of this movie was from me, right? Yes. I think I was campaigning this movie to everybody. Like, you need to watch Anora. I'm like, this movie's going to win movie of the year. And it did. And I just listened to the review today, actually. And I heard you guys talk about how the strip club that she works at is a real place called Headquarters. I'm like, really? I've never heard of this place. And I look it up, and it's literally like down the street from where I'm meeting Davey tomorrow.
Oh.
So I don't know. They have like an Anora shrine set up there because, you know, she won the Academy Award, a bunch of Academy Awards. And I'm like, you know, maybe I'll take a visit just for the shrine. That's when I, you know. Yeah, nothing else.
Shrine. That's what they call it.
Yes, shrine.
Well, we recently reviewed that, and we've reviewed a whole bunch of stuff. We're doing The Champ Is Here. It was St. Patrick's Day just yesterday. So Davey and I have a tradition where we've been reviewing the Leprechaun films. We really don't like these movies, but we finally got to Leprechaun in the Hood, the fifth installment. And man, this movie is terrible. Ice-T, Warwick Davis, Coolio, the Leprechaun rap. Four leaf clover joints. It's got everything.
You guys are almost done. What are you gonna do when you finish the Leprechaun movies? I think you have like two or three left.
I'll enjoy more life because they're so short though. Like they're only like 90 minutes, but like man, they're so bad. But I can't wait till next year till we go back to the hood. Very excited about that. But yeah, tons of podcasts out on the Patreon. So much wrestling and so many movie reviews. So give us a shot. It's only $5. It's WrestleMania season. Buy us a beer. Let us split the G. $5. Patreon.com/PoisonRana. And check out all the shows, because we've been getting lots of love for The Champ Is Here. Been appreciating it. Super feeling the love from the Post Marks and the Poison Pals out there. And that leads me to a super chat from Jake from the Windy City, who says, I feel bad for Theory getting squashed by Jay, who hasn't been improving lately. The match against Gunther is seriously getting less interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't help that Jey Uso did a little top dollar moment as well. So hopefully he's okay. Because my first fear was, is he hurt there? But yeah, it's weird because like they started this build really early, and it's like, what else is there to do? Like every week it's the same thing. Jay comes out there, gets beat up by Gunther. They tease something with Gunther and Jimmy Uso on SmackDown. So maybe you have Gunther just destroy Jimmy, like leaves him bloody, like something crazy.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can't see what else they can do. The match is set. Like, that's it. I want to see the match at this point, but we have all these weeks before that. So there's only so much, I guess, you could do to keep it interesting. And like Jake said, you know, the match is becoming less interesting because it's the same thing every week now. So
yeah, they kind of like let us know what it was, and then maybe the build, like, Jay has his doubters, I'm sure. At least you kind of see on the internet wrestling community. But at the same time, every show, he's super over with the crowd. He still seems like pretty... I hope he can deliver for this match. Like, I hope it does. I don't know if it will main event one of the nights, but there's like, it seems like a few of the other matches are heated up a whole lot more. But overall, I do expect it to be pretty good.
I do love how Gunther faced Axiom in Spain last week. So this Friday, they're going to be in Italy, Bologna. That's how you pronounce it, people.
Bologna,
Italy.
That's Bologna.
So who is he going to face? Like, Tony D'Angelo? He's going to make the trip over? I don't know.
Yeah. From Bologna, Tony D'Angelo. And it's yeah, Santino. I loved Gunther fighting a kid on SmackDown. I thought that was great. We did talk about it on Poison, and I thought that was like a pretty cool moment. We're the NXT guys, but I'm sure he absolutely loved that. We had some people in the chat on Sunday say maybe he faces Nathan Frazier in the UK spot on the tour there. That would kind of make sense because Nathan Frazier has since been tweeting like, hey, You set this match up without asking me to come with you or whatever. So we'll probably get that match as well. I thought
Nathan Frazier was from Jersey. He's not from wrong Jersey, right? Okay, I thought
yeah, the other Jersey.
Yeah, I thought he's from Newark. I was confused for a second. Okay, so he's from okay.
And so patreon.com, like I said, poisonrana.ca for all the links of everything. But before NXT, just briefly while I have you, because I know you've been also watching the show White Lotus. On yes. HBO Sundays, they're back, baby. And it's the show my girlfriend totally got me into. And this season was such a slow burn, but I think it's been my most favorite. And then, like, without spoiling anything, if you've probably seen the memes of, what is it, Walton Goggins and Sam Rockwell from this insane episode of The White Lotus Season 3. Oh, my God, but
Walter Goggins had that same face that the little kid had in the front row when Cena pointed it out. It's very hard for me to get into a show, especially a show that's not like connected to like, you know, Marvel or something. I'm like, it's really hard for me to start a new show, but I heard you talking about it. I heard a bunch of people talking about it here at my shoot job. Everybody was talking about it. I'm like, okay, what's up with this show? And I'm like, it's HBO. HBO never really disappoints me. Let me try it. I'm like, it's short seasons. It was like six episodes for the first season. Brayden, I binge watched like the entire series within 2 to 3 days. I was hooked on this. So without spoiling it, like the way the show is they're on some resort somewhere. Every season is a different country
and different cast. Different stories.
There's like some connection between all the seasons, like the way the first episode starts, the first like minute of every season, you literally see a murder, but you don't know who got killed and you don't know who killed them. So within the season, you have to try to figure it out. It's like a murder mystery. You got to try to figure out who died and who killed them. So every season you're kind of, you know, and this is the first time I've been watching it like week by week. So I have to like, you know, wait it out within a week and try to figure it out. I have my suspicions on what I think is happening for this season. I'm not really spoiling it, but I can say it. Like, I mean, I think the brothers are involved. The two brothers, Lachlan and what's the other guy? I think.
Really?
That's what I think one is going to...
Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, Patrick.
I feel like he's going to do something to his brother, and if you saw the last episode, you might have a hint of what that might be, and it might drive his brother to the edge where he grabs a certain firearm that his dad has, and that's it. I feel like that's going to be it. That's just my theory, I guess.
There's cameos, and like Sam Rockwell just shows up randomly. He's not in the show at all, and then just shows up as like some Walton Goggins friend who's had a bit of a renaissance as well. Shout out Goggins, man, sick actor. And then they have this like epic, like 3-5 minute scene together that guaranteed, like one of these guys is Sam Rockwell does a 5 minute scene and he's probably getting an Emmy for this. Like, absolutely.
I had to rewind it. Like, wait, what did he just say? I don't even want to talk about it. I need you to just watch it and experience it for yourself. Cause it was definitely, it blew my mind in more than one way. I was just what is going on right now? I had that same face that Walter had. I'm just like, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what?
Epic history TV moment there. Like, just so funny. Great. They got to do it. I want a movie with these guys together. They worked really well together. Yeah. If you got to book the next season and you could book any hotel in the world, where would you?
It's funny you say that. I actually was talking to a coworker about this. And I honestly, I thought Canada. We need like a winter theme, right? We haven't had any snow in any of these seasons. It's all been tropical. So give me like up north. Give me like a, I don't know. Where's the place in Canada where this would take place? You would know better than I would. Where do they have nice resorts? Cause I just found out these are actually, they're using real Four Seasons hotels.
They're using real hotels for this.
I had no idea. Yeah. So do you guys have a Four Seasons up there? Like, do you have a place that they can...
We have one here in Toronto. Tony Khan's dad owns it, I think. Okay. But that's not like a resort. It's just a hotel in the city. You need like a resort, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that maybe like up in Alaska, or maybe up like in like Alberta, Vancouver, Whistler, like Alberta, like on a resort. I like the beach thing because it feels like you can relate, because when you go on like a vacation.
But we've had that for the past three seasons, right? We had Hawaii, we had Italy. The Italy one hit home because they were literally in Palermo, which is like the city where I lived. It was crazy.
With Christopher from The Sopranos.
Oh my God, that made it even better. And then this season they're in Thailand. So all three seasons have so far been like very, you know, tropical, I guess you can say. But yeah, if it's not Canada, I don't know. There's plenty of places. Mexico would be pretty cool if they go down to Mexico, somewhere South America. They haven't done South America yet, so
I kind of want that. I want a hostel in Mexico, like the shittiest little switch up. It's usually like first class stuff, but yeah, I'm loving the show. It's just so weird. It's just so out there, and the theme song is absolute banger. Stuck in my head, like repeatedly play it all the time. But yeah, been obsessed with the show, and this episode was just hilarious. So welcome to our White Lotus review here.
And who knows, maybe down the line, if they were, you know, do a series finale, we can, you know, join back up and talk about that. I'll be down for that for sure.
There's a chance he might not continue it, or I've heard
this might be the last season.
That would be
you need at least one more season where you bring back like a lot of the characters from the previous seasons, because that's like the one complaint I have, is like I kind of want to know what happened to these guys. Like I want to, you know, go back to them. They do bring some characters back here or there, but I want like the stories of like past characters. Like, it's not really a spoiler, but at the end of the second season, two people get together that you didn't expect. I want to see them two now go to a resort, go to a White Lotus hotel, and see their experience together as a couple now. So I kind of would want that. Like, if they're going to wrap it up, at least have the last season bring back a lot of the same characters.
So one more season. You could keep doing this for years. This could be like Twilight Zone, where just every few years you bring out a new season or something.
Yep.
But with the mystery and everything. But and then totally like not related, but another show I binged instantly was the neighborhood friendly Spider-Man from Disney Plus.
Great show.
Holy Norman and Harry Osborn with the waves, love it. Yeah, I love everything. It's such a like fresh take on like, you know, Peter Parker.
That show like was so good that I was like jonesing for more like animated like superhero stuff. And I was like, what haven't I watched? And I'm like, you know what? Invincible. Because I know it's very similar to The Boys. I love The Boys. And people keep talking about Invincible. Like, I think the finale just aired pretty recently. So I was like, let me start that. And I'm like three episodes deep in the first season. I'm actually enjoying it. It's a mature rated cartoon. There's a lot of blood, a lot of gore. The story's pretty interesting as well. So I definitely would recommend Invincible. But yeah, Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, I can't wait for season two. That show was so good. The fact that it made me care more about like the side characters was saying something. Like, I cared more about like, you know, the Tombstone character than I did like Peter Parker. So yeah, I'm definitely intrigued with that. And I heard a rumor today that supposedly in the next Avengers movies, Doomsday, they might be bringing in some animated characters. I don't know how that, like, Roger Rabbit style. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, it's definitely not Space Jam. I'm like, are they gonna bring Miles Morales? Like, who are you gonna bring in that's animated? I don't know. It's a little off. I don't know how I feel about that. So
yeah, hopefully not. But I love the show. The animation's great. It made me want to go back and watch like old 90s animated Spider-Man show.
The theme song that sampled like the old like 60s Spider-Man theme.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. It's so awesome. Yeah. Like such a good show. Such a fresh I thought like going into it, I was a little skeptical, but then like really loved the new like spin of new stuff.
Yeah.
Really loved it. Well, there we go. There's our banter for this episode. Appreciate you sticking around. Now we can talk about the show we're here to talk about. Let's talk about some NXT from Tuesday, March 18th. We're going back to Florida, as we talked about a little bit off the top last week. Roadblock being one of the big shows, one of the best ones, honestly. And they had a great little video package here showcasing everything that happened, and Stephanie Vaquer being double champion, and a whole lot of things coming out of that, including Oba retaining, and we see some of the stars showing up for tonight's episode. But we kick things off with a title match, but not an NXT title match, a main roster title, because the women's US champ Chelsea Green has to defend against Sol Ruka because of this little beef with the tag teams here. What does Chelsea call her group here? Is there a name?
I've heard them say the Green Administration. I'm not sure if it's the official title, but I have heard that being brought up in a couple of the segments. Now that they have Alba Fire, it's an actual stable now. So yeah, the Green Administration I think could work.
That's the Green Party.
Green Party, yeah.
been loving this like character from Chelsea Green. Like, she's so funny. It definitely makes it work. I'm sure she's one of like our proud Canadian athletes. You know, we kind of gave Wayne Gretzky the boot. So, you know, he's kind of on the bench right now. So we're looking for other Canadian sports heroes. And then we have Chelsea Green with a patriotic American gimmick. We're like,
and what makes it funny is the people in her group, none of them are from the U.S., right? You got Alba Fire. Nobody is from the U.S. here. So yeah, that's what makes it even funnier.
It's pretty good. So Sol Ruca versus Chelsea Green. Sol comes out with Zarya on a skateboard.
Okay, here. I was trying to figure out what the hell. Like, I didn't see the skateboard. I just saw her like floating. I'm like, am I missing something here? Is there like strings attached? Like, I did not see a skateboard whatsoever. I thought she had little shoes that has like the, what do you call those things? Like the wheels on the bottom of them. That's what I thought she was doing.
Yo, has a wrestler ever used those?
There must be an indie wrestler.
Oh, a wrestler must have used those.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody had to.
But Sol Ruca, you should maybe try it. Maybe that sounds kind of dangerous, but so was the skateboard push from Zarya here. It was not a, she balanced at least like better than I can do. It's still a lot better than Cora Jade's skateboard, the paper skateboard. I'll never let it go. I'm sorry. So the crowd here, things start off and Chelsea is in control of Sol, and the crowd starts to do the, I pledge allegiance to Chelsea Green. Even Booker T stands up here at one point. Vic's like, sit down, Booker, sit down. Eventually, Sol counters. Chelsea hits the X Factor and then a few different times does like a handstand escape to get out of Chelsea Green. Then eventually does like a face buster and then starts to surf on Chelsea's back. Chelsea comes back, though, during the break, attacks the leg, and then she's selling the leg, hit by a Rough Rider. Shout out her hubby. I was going to say Zack Ryder, but Matt Cardona, of course. But it's not enough. There's then a one-legged cartwheel DDT from Sol, but then Kaylee Ray on the outside puts the foot on the rope, so the match continues. This is when Zarya just starts beating up both of them on the outside. Sol hits this moonsault onto Piper on the outside, which was very incredible.
It was like a split-legged moonsault to the outside. It was ridiculous the way she landed.
The way she landed was nuts. Yeah, like right on top of her. Eventually gets back in the ring and is hit with a code breaker, and then the unprettier is countered into a roll-up with a great near fall here. I bit, and so did the NXT crowd, because for a second you thought, could Sol Ruca become U.S. champ? But it wasn't the case. She ends up going for the Soul Snatcher, but then it's blocked and her leg is clipped again. And Chelsea hits the unprettier, just like another un-American stable used to do. And Chelsea Green retains the U.S. title in a pretty fun opening match, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, there was no doubt who was going to win, but they definitely made Sol Ruca look strong in it. Like you said, there was a couple moments where you kind of bit going into it. You know, these guys say it every week, but I think the fact that Corey Graves wasn't on commentary this week, Booker T was on another one. Like,
oh man,
he was going off. At one point, Vic like called her Green, and Booker got so mad. He's like, she's not Green, like as in the sense of a rookie. And Vic is like, no, it's her name. I'm trying to explain her name. But yeah, like I said, a split legged moonsault to the outside was crazy. And then like the unprettier, like the right person won, obviously, but I feel like it was a really good showing for Sol Ruca. If nobody's ever seen her before or just kind of tuning in for the first time, just based on Chelsea Green, you might left here thinking, okay, the Sol Ruca is somebody who I can definitely see in the main roster. I can't see her spending too much more time in NXT. I feel like she's like kind of set to go. I feel like she's ready.
I feel like once people on the main roster, like once fans see her on SmackDown or Raw hit that first Soul Snatcher, like it's game, like it's set. Like people instantly be like, oh, she's amazing. So I feel like maybe just a little bit, like she could win, you know, North American title or something. Like there's still this story with Zarya that they got to go through. So I guess this is the end of Chelsea Green's little excursion to NXT. But I think we should still continue with the Soul Crushers for now until maybe they spin off to face each other.
Well, it's funny you say Soul Crusher. Crush made me think of something, because is this the first time that they announced Ruca from Hawaii? Because I never remember that. I know she's from California, but I feel like they've never announced her as from Hawaii. So I wonder if there's a new thing they're trying with her, make her like the Hawaiian wrestler.
I'm not sure. I can't recall if they have always. I know she does. She likes to surf.
Yeah.
So She does that. Surfboard.
I mean, there might be another Hawaiian wrestler making his way over to WWE soon.
So. Yes, yes. There's potential. What if we see Cobb in NXT? There's a chance. We might. We go backstage. Trick Williams is there getting ready for his underground match tonight when Javon Evans comes in, starts talking to him, and mentions that he got jumped by four people. And he's like, now I understand, you know, talking about like ruthless, no one is safe. This is our NXT. And Trick is like, no. And Trick is just a bit of a, you know, Dick Williams here. And he's like, no, you're not nothing. And you're never going to be anything. Just because we both got dreads, are we supposed to be friends?
That was hilarious. Like, jeez, that was pretty funny.
To the heart, brother. He then says, you're not a champ. You'll never be a champ. So tighten up. And he walks off like just like obliterating poor Javon here just for no reason. Just a big bro bullying him here.
Trick Williams over here, huh?
Yeah, exactly. This is when Lexus King kind of walks in. He was overhearing this whole thing and says, you've never been champ like me. So maybe, you know, you do, you know, need to step out of line. This eventually is announced that sets up a match for next week. Javon Evans versus Lexus King for the Heritage Cup.
Yep.
The Heritage Cup's on the line, yeah. In a rounds match, I assume. So
I don't know, because didn't Alexis say he's not doing that anymore? Or at least
he's
champion, so it might just be a straight up
one-on-one. Yeah, of course. How could I forget? He saved the Heritage Cup division by eliminating rounds, because he was like, why don't we just do a normal match?
Then what's the point of this Heritage Cup? I don't know,
but I love it that we're not doing the rounds. Davey would be yelling, no, bring back the rounds, please. So
I like the rounds. I'll be honest. Like I liked it when they did it in NXT UK. I liked it when they do in a Ring of Honor. Like the Pure Rules is pretty much the same idea. I like it's different. I like anything that's different because than your different. Normal. Yeah.
Yeah. Like once in a while. Yeah. You know what?
The fact that we don't get it every week. It's like maybe once a month. I say we get it. So I think it's fine. They're gonna bring it back when somebody takes the title off of him for sure.
Yeah, I do agree. Still, we get a commercial for NXT. They announced that they will be doing TV right after WrestleMania weekend. Yeah. In Vegas, so there is a little show there for like your that's the total last show. So now they're even taking over Vegas till the Tuesday. The shop will still probably be open. Like,
so it's the same hotel where they're doing the Hall of Fame. And I looked it up, and it's a really cool looking venue. It's like it kind of reminds me of the theater, the Madison Square Garden. Okay. Has that type of vibe to it. So that's my first thing I do. I look up like whenever they announce Collision or NXT, any of these like theater small places I've never heard of. I look it up to see what it looks like, and yeah, this place looks pretty sick. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I didn't expect them to stay another couple days for NXT. So NXT is getting two shows in Vegas.
Yeah, lots of shows. There's so much stuff going on this weekend. We'll continue to talk about some other stuff they announce and advertise, but like, holy crap. Like, we went to Mania last year. We had a big group, including you, I, and a bunch of people, and like, we did a lot, and we still didn't do like half the stuff that was like more than like there's so much, and that was last year. This year looks insane.
Hey, you know what I'm not seeing? I'm not seeing a tribute to the Extreme in Vegas. They didn't announce that yet. So
this is true. Yeah, I would like
you're getting Sabu's retirement match. That was announced. He's fighting Janela at Spring Break. So at least you're getting that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Hopefully he shows up for his last match.
I think so.
It would be a Sabu thing to do not to show up, but
hey, I can't retire if I don't show up, right? So
there's been some fun. Butterbean and Suzuki,
that yeah, man. Butterbean and Suzuki. Yeah,
there's something else that was announced too that sounded pretty crazy, but so far there's some fun things, and of course, got to shout out Demand Lucha, my Toronto local indie fed. We love Demand Lucha here in the city, and they're doing a show in Vegas WrestleMania weekend. So please, if you want to check out Demand Lucha and some,
they Toronto announced love. The same show as Butterbean and Suzuki. They're doing Mickey James versus Maki Ito.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. I'm sure we'll get some crazy things announced. The DDT show starts announcing stuff too. So, fun stuff. Lots of stuff. Undertaker's one man show. There's like all these, you know, we'll talk about a roast as well. We'll see.
Yep.
We go to the Progressive NXT recap where we see the family talking here. The family, of course, I'm referring to Stax, Crucifino, and Rizzo. And they're talking about their match. And Rizzo says that she's referring to Izzy. I'm going to break her face. And Tony shows up and Stax says, hey, I think you should stay in the back tonight, Tony, because as the underboss, I don't think it's right for you to go out there in case they target you and attack you. So you're not 100% to get your title rematch. And at first, Tony's like, what? But then he's like, actually, yo, that's a good idea. So that is exactly what happens, where Tony will stay back for their six-person tag, family v. family tonight here on NXT.
You know, I know earlier we were talking about Michael Imperioli because he's on White Lotus season two.
Right, Chris
Benoit. If you close your eyes and you hear Stax talking to Tony, Stax sounds like Christopher Moltisanti,
yes.
Especially the fact that he calls him T. Just
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah,
NLT.
He does.
I'm like, he sounds a lot like
Chris. He's got to be doing it on purpose.
He's got to be doing it on purpose. Yeah, the whole thing is a Sopranos.
Him calling him T is like to a T. See what I mean? Yeah. But like, it's very like he's trying to do the Sopranos thing. Which is great. We see our dual champ, Stephanie Two Belts. Two Belt Steph. We'll work on it. Yeah. Stephanie Vaquer comes out, North American champion and NXT women's champion. She comes out holding both belts in the middle of the ring. And she says, this is a little tough for me because English isn't my first language, but wrestling is my first language. That
bars,
was a bar.
That
was fire. That was a good one. She says, I could have gone anywhere I wanted, to any promotion, to any company. Everyone wanted me, but I wanted to make history. This is the best women's division on the planet. And me being here, I knew I was the best. And this proves it as she holds up both titles. And she says that the next person who wants to who wants a piece of me is going to come down here and look me in the eyes. And well, someone says, okay, bet. We hear Jordynne Grace music hits and she comes out and she's wearing very big boots here. Very, very SpongeBob-esque.
Yeah. Patrick the whole thing is basically a spoof of Patrick. I saw the image side by side. It's Patrick wearing the same like boots and colors and everything. Yeah.
So Grace has a mic and she says that, yeah, I'll look you in your eyes because, congratulations, but I want to prove to you that I'm even better than you and that I'm on another level. But before she can continue, out of nowhere, she is attacked by Jada Parker, hits her with the running hypnotic.
A couple hypnotics, yeah.
Just getting hit with a few hypnotic. I have a drive-by hypnotic, a drive-by bum attack, a rear view. And Jada grabs a mic now, and Grace is just laid out. It was also a hypnotic to Grace wearing those tall boots. So she flew. She went flying, lost her balance, you know. Jada says that, Grace, you don't get to call the shots. You're not first in line. The line starts behind Jada Parker, and I'm not waiting any longer. She gets in the ring, looks Steph in the eye. And she says, I'm taking my shot. You said the first person to look you in the eyes. Well, I'm looking you dead in your eyes. And Jada Parker will reap what you sow and challenges Vaquer to a match. And, jumping ahead, that match is happening next week on NXT. But what did you think of the promo? I think we both said that opening line about wrestling being my first language was really solid.
Yeah, I mean, for somebody who says like she's not that good at English, she did really well. I feel like she's probably like one of the top like foreign wrestlers like as far as speaking English goes. But yeah, that line was great. Wrestling is her first language. All the lines she was saying, La Primera, the best of the best and all that was great. My one like complaint about this is like, okay, Stephanie has two titles. Somebody would challenge for the other title later on. Why didn't Jordan just be like, oh, damn, what title did Jada challenge for? The women's title? Okay, you know what? Since I'm here, can I challenge for the other title? Like, we didn't get that. But I didn't expect this. Jada to kind of come out of nowhere. But Jada's been really good on the mic as well. Like, even she was saying some 10 toes down and all this. Like, after the promo, Vic is like, Booker, give me a SDQQ, a shucky ducky quack quack. I'm like, SDQQ, I don't know. That doesn't really roll off the tongue. Just say shucky ducky quack quack. But yeah, I was impressed by everybody in the segment. We didn't get much from Jordan, but Jada shined. Stephanie did really well as well. So I kind of like this, as we'll find out later on, this gimmick of like the double champ happened to do double duty on all these shows. I feel like she's going to continue that for a while until eventually it's going to catch up to her. And that's how she loses. I like how she didn't like relinquish the title. I was fearing that was going to happen when she came out. I'm like, is she going to just give one of these titles away? But the fact that she's a double champion and doing double duty, I think is the right way to go. Keep her strong.
Yeah, no, totally, totally agree. I think Jada has been sounding so good on the mic. One of the best talkers, I think, in the women's division, going strong. Like, I'd say in the last year, she's improved, all over improved. But like,
she sounds authentic. Like, doesn't seem like she's a gimmick. She's not putting on voices. I believe this is how she talks. So she sounds realistic to me.
So I feel like this is a way to get through this. And then, you know, it's just prolonging Grace versus Stephanie, which has to be the stand and deliver match,
I
right?
I think so.
Yeah, but we will get to that. But I think Jada and Stephanie could be great as well. Like, we've seen Jada, you know, step up and with, you know, maybe right now the best women's wrestler, one of the best wrestlers, full stop, Stephanie Vaquer versus Jada could be really good next week. Like, it's a PLE match almost. But Jada, like, that's someone, if she might not ever win the women's title here in NXT, but she could be on the main roster and probably get over pretty quickly with, like, again, her mic, her attitude and stuff, I could see get it working really, really well.
Yep.
We see Hank and Tank backstage. They're getting ready. They took the advice from the Hardys, and they're going to go extreme. We saw them do topes last week, and tonight they have a match, and they're going to try to go extreme, they say. Extreme! They don't go that extreme, to be honest.
They're ready to say Hong Kong, and then they cut each other off. It was like extreme. And I think they got a cease and desist from Women of Wrestling.
Hong Kong.
Yes, Hong Kong is already taken over there.
That's right. We go to the match with Hank and Tank. It's a tag team match. Hank and Tank taking on Briggs and Inamura. Booker says that Hank and Tank are the most improved tag team that he's seen recently in NXT. And, of course, has nothing to do with the fact that they are tag team champions of Reality of Wrestling.
Yes.
Hank hits a nice-looking choke slam. Sorry, Briggs hits a nice-looking choke slam on Hank here. Very, very good. But then Hank and Tank send them both to the outside. And Hank and Tank tease moonsaults to the outside.
I don't know what they were trying to do here. I'm like, what did they both mess up? I was so confused on what they were trying to do here.
So I think they were teasing that they were going to do like moonsaults, like acai moonsaults, which they've never done, and I don't think they could do possibly.
It looked like they did like double Vader bombs to the outside. Like they
I think
didn't...
it was supposed to be a counter.
Okay.
I don't know what they were trying to do, and I don't necessarily know what happened, but it was weird. And this is when Booker was like kind of losing it here. He's like, I think he thought they were going to do moonsaults. Do a double moon. And Booker was like, yo, guys, like, chill, dog. He was like, stop. Don't do that.
I need you on my next show.
Yeah, please stop. We get back in the ring, and Yoshihiki hits the like spinning body slam on Tank. But eventually Hank is tagged in. He hits a hot tag with all sorts of shoulder blocks and then the boss man slam. They go for their Hong Kong, the double like E-train thing here, or Ho train, I guess. But it's not enough. Eventually it's Tank who's left alone in the ring, gets the clothesline from hell from Josh Briggs. And then Inamura goes up top, does the ring rope shake thing, and then does a splash for the 1-2-3. So Inamura and Briggs win the tag match here. I think the right guys won. It had some fun moments, but I'm whenever the bell rings, Briggs and Inamura so far like are a fun tag team to watch. There could be, you know, improvements on maybe their character or what they are, but so far like the wrestling is there. And Hank and Tank are improving, I think, as well. But
this match was fine for what it was. There were some scary spots, like you mentioned, the moonsault, whatever that was, attempt on the outside. At one point, Inamura was just getting like tossed around to the outside like nothing. Like he got thrown to the commentary table and the barricade. There was a really scary spot where at the very end, Hank did like this dive to Inamura, but it looked like Hank almost like went face first. But hopefully he's okay. But yeah, it was a fine match, and the right people won for sure. So like, is this supposed to lead to a Hank and Tank versus Hardy Boys match? Like, what's going on here? Like, I'm like, are they going back to ECW Arena? Like, what's up with this extreme stuff? Like, are they just going to drop it next week? Like, we're going to forget about it?
So, like, the going extreme, I think that's what they were going to tease was moonsaults, right? Like, we're going extreme. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I do think we're going to get, like, Fraxium Hardy's rematch at
maybe Sam Hank and Tank show up at TNA and just do, like, a match with the Hardy Boys or something. I feel like that might happen.
Death matches?
Yeah.
They start using glass and like real extreme weapons and stuff. Like the Hardy said, be extreme. They're like, okay, we're going to try to do double acai moonsaults. It's like, okay. And they didn't do it, but maybe they'll eventually do it and it'll be this big moment. I'm not sure, but yeah.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
We go backstage. Eddie Thorpe walks into the locker room and people are all like sneering at him and kind of like walk out because he's there. But Ridge is there and he goes, oh, you're not going to leave because I walked in? And he's like, oh, I don't give a fuck. They do that to me too. They go, we're not so different, you and I, Eddie Thorpe and Ridge Holland. And they kind of making a little alliance here. Like, hey, you know, what's up with these? Do they call people sports entertainers?
Yeah, they're like Trick and Saints are sports entertainers, they called. So I guess these are the real wrestlers, these two.
So the real wrestling alliance of Eddie Thorpe and Ridge Holland here on NXT, the new hot faction. Speaking of factions, we're going to faction wars. We're going to family versus family. I'm talking about the D'Angelo family and the Cullen family. Sorry, the Culling? The Culling family.
The Cullen family from Twilight?
Yeah. Yeah, they shine. The Twilight family, the Cullen family. Come out here. So it's family be family, but we don't have Tony D'Angelo ringside. He's in the back watching. We see, but the other guys. So it's Stax, Crucifino, and Rizzo taking on Izzy, Brooks Jensen, and Nico here in this six-person tag. The Italians are pretty heated here. So they attack these guys right as the bell rings, and it's a big all-out brawl. Everyone's trying to fight everyone, and Rizzo really hates Izzy because of obviously the title change and everything. So she's trying to get her revenge pretty quickly. This is for what some reason Vic Joseph brings up G.I. Bro to yep. Booker T. And for some reason, Booker T starts laughing and he's like, yeah, yo, shout out
Major Guns. Yeah. He brought up the Misfits in action. And for the first thing out of Booker's mind was, yeah, you reminded me of Major Guns. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure he did, Book.
Yeah. Shout out Major Guns. If you know, you know. I thought Booker was on one tonight, as per usual. But like, we got two segments of Booker singing tonight in two different matches. So
yes,
that can shape your view on.
I'm very glad
he was.
I'm very glad I watched the international Netflix feed for this because Booker is even more on one during the commercials, as we'll talk later on. Starts singing out of nowhere. I'm like, this is what I'm missing on the CW. So I might have to just watch it from now on Netflix.
And also you got to hear the banger rave music, the commercial music.
Yeah. I see what all the hype is about.
Yeah. So back to this match, the six-person tag. We have Rizzo again trying to scrap with Izzy, and they continue to fight. Eventually, Rizzo hits a tope onto the outside onto Izzy. That was pretty great. During picture-in-picture, we get Izzy who comes back and starts attacking Rizzo, but then Rizzo on the apron flies into the ring with what looked like a Molly go-round here, a Rizzo go-round for a near fall. Brooks is tagged in.
Well, I know that Molly's down on the PC. She's been showing up like an LFG.
Oh, really?
I feel like she's down there coaching at this point, so it wouldn't be surprising if she's kind of giving her old moves away.
I mean, we haven't seen anyone hit a Molly go-round in a while, so that makes sense. So I thought Rizzo looked good doing it. Brooks Jensen tags in, and he got some new gear here. This is like some old-school wrestling gear, like long pants, but like some colors and XO on it. I'm not quite sure what it means.
It looks a lot better now than his old like Raven's flock look that he was going for a while. So I prefer this look.
And we see Brooks is in here. He's hitting a bunch of chops on Stax. And then Nico puts Stax in a gory special and like a gory special lock. And there's Brooks just chopping at him here. I thought this was great. Very old school meets new school. Eventually, Brooks goes up top for a huge elbow drop, but it's a miss here. And eventually, Stax makes the hot tag to Crucifino. He comes in. He's hitting huge shoulder blocks on everyone. The crowds definitely start to wake up. This was a highlight of the match here, where it just starts to really pick up. The D'Angelo family hit the shatter machine here, but it is eventually broken up when it cuts to Tony watching backstage. And we hear, hey, Tony. And mid-match, Tony is attacked by the Mystery Men.
And four rogue athletes, as we're still calling them as of right now, the four rogue athletes.
What a great call. The four rogue athletes. And then when like they came back to it on the replay, you could tell he was probably like, fuck, that sounded dumb. Hold on. And then he's like, four rogue superstars.
Yeah, there we go.
Love Vic. I love you, Vic Joseph, though. Don't get it twisted. I love Vic Joseph and Booker T, even when they're on one, especially tonight. So after like this distraction leads to, oh no, Tony is attacked. Oh, distraction, which allows Nico in the ring to hit Stax with what looked like a burning hammer at one point. Kenta Crucifino here, but maybe more of like a psycho driver, like a torture rack into like a DDT, kind of similar to what Logan Paul's been using as well here. Yeah. But the Culling family win this match and beat the D'Angelo family via distraction. But you know what? There was some points in this match. It got heated. It got cooking. I thought like certain spots were pretty fun.
Yeah, this match was a lot better than I expected. You know, started hot in the beginning with the brawl before the bell even rang. Rizzo and Izzy looked like they straight up hated each other the way they kept going at each other and fighting. I want to see that singles match for sure. And shout out to Luca. Luca's really been improving. He's actually he's been doing Evolve as well. He's like the only person from the D'Angelo family that's been down there. They said he's scouting in Evolve, so I'm not sure if he's going to try to recruit for the family or whatnot. But Luca's definitely improved in the last couple years or so. The weird part about it, and we'll talk about them more later on, is but these four rogue athletes, one of them is like on LFG trying to like win a contract, which is really weird to see like this guy on this one reality show trying to like win a contract to WWE while he's already like on NXT, like, you know, like destroying people, which is kind of weird. But no, I really enjoyed this match. The Shatter Machine, they called it the Shatter Machine. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I don't know what that move was that Nico did at the end, but yeah, it was some sort of burning hammer F5 variant. I don't know what he was trying to do, but it looked good.
It looked good. Like, you know what? The story and whatever this Culling thing is kind of silly, but every time we have seen them wrestle, it's kind of been like this, where it's like, oh, okay, here's these guys. And then the matches are kind of good. And like, we always praise, Davey and I are always talking about Stax, so like being this like wild card. He's a bit of like, you know, a young blue chipper here. Like he's so good whenever he wrestles. And the same with Brooks Jensen on the other side of the team. So like when these guys were going at it, it was pretty good. So these two are like young guys that I could see eventually, you know, making it work. And I think at least it's giving all these young characters and people a chance to be on TV. And I want to let it play out, because it's like on paper, it's Sean Spears leading a group called the Culling. And then it's like, okay. But then every time they have some matches, they're all right. So I'm like, okay, I'm willing
I think Stax is going to take the title from Sean Spears, honestly. And that's like the driving force to get Tony a little bit jealous. And I was joking before about him showing up in Bologna on Friday, but does he show up to get some backup? Like, you know, he needs some help from you know, from the guys back at the motherland. So he might get some help there in Bologna. You never know. I don't know who's over there that he can get help from, but it could be somebody.
Yeah. We'll see. Cause there's definitely like a Stax Tony story that's got to happen in, right,
especially if you connect it to The Sopranos, you know, Christopher and Tony. No spoilers, but, you know.
Oh, boy, that would be heartbreak here on NXT. Like, really, Stax told him to stay in the back because we know there's a reason. So maybe Stax is part of this group. It made me wonder, through this episode, this was the most, like, engagement we've seen from this group, as we'll get to in a second. Yep. But, like, throughout it kind of made me go, wait, is someone else like also working with these people? Like, do they have like are they just the pawns for someone else? Like, could it be Trick? Could it be Ethan Page? Could it be, I don't know. It made me think about it, but I don't know. It could just be four masked rogue athletes.
Yes.
That's probably what it will end up being. We go backstage. Ava is with Stephanie Vaquer. She's like, hey, congratulations again on being double champ. Next week, it will be Jada versus Stephanie for the NXT Women's Championship. When Fallon Henley comes in and says, oh, yeah, where's my match? When's my rematch for the North American champion? And Ava's like, best GM in the world, says, well, Stephanie's already got a match next week. Oh, yeah, Ava? What about when you kept double booking Fraxium? What about that, Ava? Jeez, come on. Get it together, Ava. Please. Fallon says, well, it's not my problem that she wants to be double champ, so she shouldn't have a problem facing me after her match with Jada. The smartest heel logic.
Great point. Maybe ever. I mean, it makes perfect sense, right? Yeah. You got two titles, and do the double the work.
It's not even asking, hey, you should face me. No, you're facing me after your other match already. So that is official for next week. Ava's like, yeah, sure. Stephanie's like, I'll do it. So Stephanie will face Fallon after she faces Jada, both titles in both title matches.
Does she lose one of the titles, or do you think they keep this going for a little bit longer?
Would it be too quick? Like, I do love Fallon, so it's like, hey, you could give it back to her, and then we go back to
the fact
run.
That they made it the point that Fallon's getting her match after Jada makes me think that, yeah, maybe she will drop.
Like someone attacks her even and stuff, like something, yeah.
Only because you have so much like great talent in this NXT women's roster. Yeah. It's like, it only feels right to give the title for other people to fight over, you know?
Yeah, it's like, oh, she just won it, but like... Yeah. Like, think, when was it Keith Lee? They didn't mention him last week, and we kind of forgot. Like, similar thing, but didn't he just give away the title after?
Gave it away.
Which was really lame. Yeah.
When Paige went up to the main roster, she just gave away her NXT title. Solo. Yeah.
Solo Sikoa.
Yeah, Solo, yeah.
Kevin Owens was fine, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Cena. I feel like we should give it away, just so that if we have a North American women's match on Stand and Deliver, it's not just Stephanie doing two matches. I don't know. Like you said, it would be good to... spread the love of the title. Like, she doesn't need both.
Maybe keep it all the way to Stand and Deliver. Maybe have her be like, you know what, this is too much work. She gives it up, and then you have a ladder match for the North American women's title.
Okay. Or even like Fallon wins it and screws her over and Fatal Influence help or something. And then Ava's like, you know what, you're the champ, but you have to put it on the line, like, in a crazy way. I think that'd be the best, like, because she doesn't need both, right? It's cool that she did it and it's epic and everything, but like, we should give it to someone else. And
I agree. Focus.
Yeah. We see a recap of Tony, almost said Tony Khan getting beat up. Different show.
Wrong show.
Tony D'Angelo getting attacked, and the rogue athletes walking out. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe. And we're not sure what that means yet, but nobody is safe. We go to our next match. Carmen Petrovic with Ashanti the Adonis, or should I say Sailor Carmen here with the Sailor Moon inspired hairdo outfit, kind of similar.
Something. I liked it,
yeah. Taking on JC Jane from Fatal Influence here. And this is when, if Booker wasn't on one, oh man. Booker starts talking about Ashanti the Adonis and how he's a bit of a ladies' man here at NXT and starts singing, think about this, Booker T singing, Papa was Rolling Stone. Just continues singing this song. And then Vic is like dying laughing and starts like, what are you doing? And then Booker's like, don't you get it? The pheromones, the pheromones.
He was also very excited for JC Jane, calling her a rock star. That's unrelated, but JC Jane is scheduled for Reality of Wrestling on March 30th. I just want to point it out. Get your tickets today at realitywrestling.com.
He was going off. Pheromones. Maybe he's a big fan of the tag team in DDT, but pheromones. Yeah. He's talking about love in the air with Ashanti and Carmen, but oh my God, he was on one here. I love when, like, you know, Taz gets away with the singing. Maybe Booker's like, I like to do that too. So everyone likes to sing.
Vic said that Ashanti and Carmen have Bed Chem. If anybody knows the Sabrina Carpenter song.
Bed Chem. Yes.
Bed Chem, yeah.
Yes, very nice. Well, this match starts and JC gets control here, hits her standing senton. Eventually, they both hit a double clothesline where they're both down. And Ashanti goes to pass her a chair. And Carmen's like, no, I can't do that. What are you doing? She says no, which allows for a big distraction. And JC hits the huge rolling elbow, the rolling encore from JC Jane. This looked great as a finisher here. And in a quick match, JC gets the pin on Carmen. And it's all because of Ashanti. So already problems with this Bed Chem here. Jeez.
This is like the classic case of, like, you know, the straight A student in school. She's doing so well, right? And then she gets with somebody and her grades start going down. This is exactly what happened. Carmen was doing so well before she hooked up with Ashanti. And now, as soon as they're together, she's been losing every match. So, yeah.
NXT high drama.
Yeah. They got bed cam, but I don't think they have ring cam.
Ooh. Yeah, nice. We should, that should be someone's team.
Ring cam?
Is that ring camp? I don't know. That's a little close.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really quick match. It didn't necessarily feel like it got going, but I did like that elbow from JC Jane. Kind of like, hey, don't forget about me. I like Fatal Influence, and they're doing a good job with them, I think. We go backstage. Hank and Tank, they're talking. They're sad about losing. They say, I don't know what we don't know what to do. What should we even do anymore? We get advice, and because maybe we need to get advice from, like, you know, someone even like higher. Is he talking about like even more different tag teams? When Wes, Tyson, and Tyreek are there, and they're like, you ain't got it, man. Just realize that you guys just don't got it. And Hank and Tank take offense to this. So I do imagine maybe we get a match between these two guys and Hank and Tank, and maybe Wes, or maybe a third guy for Hank and Tank.
Yeah, but Hank, Tank, and Frank. Fire Frank.
Fire. Yeah, get Frank in there. Is there any – maybe they find someone to like be their mentor is where we –
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there any famous Franks in wrestling history? Frank Gotch, I don't think he's still around. Yeah, there really isn't too many Franks in wrestling, huh?
Yeah.
Frank the Clown? No, Noel Foley's
right
boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But someone's going to teach these guys. Maybe The Undertaker?
Okay. LFG.
Right. We need someone to teach these guys. Like, they need proper advice, they said. So
I mean, they always talk about Extreme. Maybe bring somebody from ECW, the kind of – Rob Van Dam's always kicking around, right? Maybe have him – doesn't he live in Vegas? Is RVD from Vegas?
I feel like – Hey, you're on to something.
Right?
You're
that could be a good match.
Yeah.
Is TakeOver – not, sorry, TakeOver. Stand and Deliver, is that on the Saturday or the Sunday?
The Saturday, not 420. Okay.
Oh, that would have been perfect. On 420, have RVD team up with Hank and Tank.
Yeah. Hank Tank and Rob Van Dam, the weirdest blood rotation, not necessarily the ones that come to mind, but I'm still there for it. But like, what?
Hank Tank and Dank. If you know, you know.
Bravo. Bravo. We see Ricky Saints making his making his entrance when we go to break. But when we come back before the match, Jada Parker backstage talking directly to the camera, a great promo here. She's saying, well, before I talk about what she said, actually, if you looked in the background, Ashanti and Carmen are having a bit of an argument and Carmen walks off. So.
And you hear the audible ooh from the crowd. They're all focused in the back because they were like, ooh, it was like one of those say bada bell moments when the girl walks off.
He's in the doghouse. He's sleeping on the couch tonight, Ashanti. Jada Parker says that Grace found out the hard way that no one gets in Jada Parker's way. And Stephanie, we're not shooting dice or spinning the wheel. We're playing for real life. We're playing for keeps here. And Jada Parker is going to take that NXT title. Clock it.
I like the line about the, you know, we're not shooting dice. We're not dealing cards. We're not spinning wheels.
Yeah.
You gotta save the wheels for Halloween Havoc. That's later on in the year.
Of course.
But yeah, it was a good promo. I mean, she really did a good promo in the ring. So just, you know, the cherry on top here. But yeah, I mean, I know she's not going to win the title, but I feel like she's going to have a really good showing. And I feel like Stephanie's going to bring the best out of her next week.
Yeah, I agreed. Like, I don't see her taking it from Stephanie because I just think we are going to go to Stephanie versus Jordan Grace at Send and Deliver, which would be awesome. But, like, I do think she'll have a pretty awesome, I just say breakout match, but every time she has a breakout match, all last year, like, she's had really solid matches. So I think it'll be pretty good. I think we'll still find a spot for her for Send and Deliver. Like, if we were saying that multi-women match for, like, a ladder, like, she could be easily in that and win that.
For sure.
We go to Ricky Saints taking on Ridge Holland here. This is Ricky's first singles match here on NXT. We have him in control, hits a drop kick early on here, but Ridge comes back, starts hitting a bunch of backbreakers. Ridge puts him in a bunch of bear hugs and pretty boring rest holds. During picture in picture, we come back. There's another backbreaker, another bear hug here. This is when I was kind of just dazing off, and so was Booker T yet again. If Papa Was a Rolling Stone wasn't good enough for you, Booker T starts talking about, I guess, how Ridge is applying pressure to Ricky Saints here, and then starts going ding 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 ding, and then Vic is just like, what the
fuck? I love how he asked me, Vic, what song is that? I wish Vic would have said Ice Ice Baby.
Ice Ice Baby, obviously. No. Ours sounds
totally
like
different. Yeah, it's totally different.
Mine goes like, and his goes like.
somebody needs to like take that now with Booker's audio and just flip it.
Yeah. What song is that again? Under Pressure? Yeah. Ice Ice Baby. It's completely different. So Booker T singing twice tonight on NXT. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. We see more bear hugs. Eventually, Ricky comes back with an enziguri to the head there. And then the DDT like off the ropes. And then a Rochambeau, but kind of.
Yeah.
It looked like maybe he didn't get all of it, as Vic said here, but still enough to put Ridge Holland away. One of my low points of this episode, I'd say, you know, Ricky coming in super hot. Ridge is not the guy to put on a solid match with. And they've really tried here with Ridge. And I just don't know where we go with Ridge going forward, because this was pretty boring, I thought.
Yeah, it's not my first choice of for Ricky's first singles match. The match was slow at times. Ricky's dropkicks were amazing. Whenever he hit his dropkicks, that was fine. But yeah, Ridge totally brought the match down. The Rochambeau, like you said, was scary at the end. I was more curious if they were going to call it Rochambeau or like name it like, you know, when the Saints go marching in or something. I feel like they're going to change the title of his move. But no, they kept the Rochambeau here. But yeah, like you said, barely got him up here. The right person won, but yeah, I don't know what's going on with Ridge. Honestly, like, they send Gallus down to Evolve. Maybe just send Ridge down there too at this point, because I feel like they tried so many times with him on the main roster back to NXT, and he's really not doing anything for anybody.
Well, okay. Well, they sent Gallus to Evolve because they're training people. Because
is that what it is?
They're like, that's definitely like that they helped train the Rock,
true,
right?
All last year. Yeah, you're right. I never thought about that. Like, Gallus. So maybe don't send Ridge down there.
Send Ridge to get trained by Gallus down there, maybe possibly.
Hey, send Ridge to TNA. Have him join the system.
Sure, absolutely. There's been no improvement, and this wasn't the best showing for Ricky. I thought, but we see a commercial. Hey, what are you doing WrestleMania weekend? Is two nights of Mania not enough? What about after the show? Triple H is talking to Wade Barrett and The Miz, and The Miz says, "What about a roast?" At first, I was like, "Dude, does he mean like roast beef?" But no, a roast meaning Tony Hinchcliffe will be hosting the roast of WrestleMania, and right after WrestleMania, is it night two? I think after like the whole weekend. I think this is on the Sunday.
This is not televised though. It's like the one show that they're not televising.
Oh,
there's probably good reasons for that, especially if it's a roast and God is hosting it. Triple H wants it on TV.
Yeah, Triple H does say here, oh, this could go off the rails in a really bad way, but they say, let's do it. And it is happening in Vegas. I imagine they tape it and then air it at a later
date. Maybe edit it if they need to,
Yeah, like if you've, so he's definitely had his name brought up. I mean, Kill Tony's super huge. He's, you know, selling out arenas and whatnot. And then, of course, the Puerto Rico joke from the Trump thing. That was.
Yeah, they listed a bunch of guests there. They said, like, you know, Braun Strowman is going to be there. The Miz was there. Damian Priest didn't get the invite.
Yeah, no Bad Bunny. No surprisingly. Bad Bunny. Yeah. Maybe he'll show up and it'll set up a match between the two of them. I know that his comedy stuff, and it's super popular and funny, but at the same time, like, that joke definitely rubbed people the wrong way. So another like MAGA connection here with WWE and WrestleMania weekend. But at the same time, I'm interested to see what this would be. Like, will they have to edit out stuff like they do in some of his other stuff? They have edited out jokes in previous roasts that didn't include him. And, like, you know, roasts have been going on since the old days, back in the day, you know, Sinatra and Dean Martin and stuff. But, like, I imagine it will be like the ones we've seen, like the athletes or the actors getting their roasts.
And I feel like you said, they're going to tape it and probably put it on Netflix. I feel like that would be a good place to put it on after they you know, edit it and make sure there's nothing.
Benoit jokes. Yeah. They'll get rid of all the Benoit jokes out of it after. Like, Tony Hinchcliffe is the guy who would make – he's the one that Ric Flair walked off his show, right?
He'll probably do, like, a Vince joke for sure.
There's going to be lots of Vince jokes. Yeah, absolutely. So maybe that's the rule. Like, hey, man, you can't.
Yeah.
But I'm sure people will want that, but – I don't know. I'm also like, whatever. But at the same time, like, I'm kind of interested to see what that would be like. I do love me some comedy. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. It could be awful. It could be great.
If anybody goes, please let us know. Let us know the live report just so we know nothing's edited out.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be videos, or maybe it's a comedy show. They might make you lock up your phone.
Yeah.
I've been to
I'm so mad. I went to a Dave Chappelle show last year and Justin Timberlake was like the special guest. And the whole time my phone is locked in a bag and I'm like, damn, I can't even take a photo.
That's like me and my boy Graham went last year in 2024 and it was such an intimate like setting. And I'm like so close to Dave Chappelle and I'm like, I can't take a photo because my phone's in the bag. But I get it. I liked it. It was refreshing. It's like the White Lotus, they're putting the phones in the bag.
Yes, right? Just like the White Lotus.
Yeah, exactly. We go to the Mystery Men. Shout out William H. Macy. Not him, though. The Mystery Rogue Athletes in the back. Dion Lennox. This time here, though, Sino, you got to help me out. What are the names of these Rogue Mystery Athletes?
So you have Dion Lennox, who we've seen on NXT. You got Cutler James, who's been on LFG lately. Osiris Griffin and Saquon Sugars.
Okay. And their masks are now lowered, so they're revealing their faces.
Yeah.
But this is all like in the back area outside the venue here in the NXT parking lot. And they say that this is NXT. You got to earn your spot, but we are NXT. It's all bull. And the four of us were not built to sit on the sidelines. So we decided that we have to do things our own way, and we're going to turn into four game changers. So we need to let people know and make our statement. And then they go, oh, did we make our statement? Well, I guess it's time for, and I think I heard the name right, the Dark State Strike. So I'm assuming the Dark State is the name of this mystery men. Yeah, so Dark
later State. On, yeah, Vic, he repeated the Dark State. So that looks to be their name.
A Dark State of Mind here on NXT. And they go, oh, actually, we didn't make our statement, so we're going to have to do that. And they go back into the venue, which we'll come to later on. But you know what? I thought solid promos from these guys. Like, they all... They definitely needed this, because it has been feeling like a whole lot of just a Shield like remix or rehash, which is fine. It's pretty like standard, and it's just like, you know, a group of guys getting together. But from this little segment, I thought they came across pretty strong, better than I thought they were going to sound.
Yeah, this is definitely what we needed. Like, it was just like a couple of weeks of them just not really doing anything. So this is the promo that we should have got like the day after they debuted, you know. But I'm happy that they got it here, and all four seem pretty confident on the mic. They finally got a name. Yeah.
They sounded confident. Yeah, absolutely. I think they were the right choice for this, because not one of them didn't feel like they didn't fit the part, you know? So, yeah.
And just to confirm, WWE have tweeted out Dark State. One word, Dark State. So that is their official name.
Looks Dark like. State. Sounds like a website or something. Dark Web State. Dark State. We get some match announcements next week. We mentioned Jada Parker versus Stephanie Vaquer, and then Stephanie versus Fallon right afterwards. Two title matches, plus the Heritage Cup, Javon Evans versus Lexus King. I feel like, did they announce anything else?
No, just those three matches as far as
right now.
Yeah.
We see Ricky Saints backstage, and he's talking about, he's interviewed right after his match earlier, and he's talking about bringing the new revolution to NXT. This is when the Culling show up, and they talk about how they wonder if Ricky coming here and seeing if he can measure up. And Ricky says that I always measure up in the right places. And he gives a little wink there and the Culling, or he walks off here. So Ricky dabbling with the Culling and talking about, he's got some BDE.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. So maybe Ricky gets this title. Maybe we don't go to Stacks. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like the first right opponent would have been somebody like a Brooks Jensen. I think that would be a pretty good match for Ricky. So maybe they're just going to do the match with Brooks.
True.
And maybe eventually get a title shot. Maybe he'll team up with Stacks. I don't know. Like, there's something that they can definitely do with there. But I don't think he's going to take a title just yet.
Yeah. Well, we go to our main event of the evening on NXT. NXT Underground. Now, this is the Bloodsport equivalent here in NXT. There is no ropes, and the ring is surrounded by lumberjacks and a bunch of jobber cops, and they all bang their hands on the mat here, and it's underground. And we have Trick Williams taking on Eddie Thorpe. The reason this came play, obviously, Eddie costing Trick the title in that triple threat match. And we've seen Eddie in these underground matches. He's undefeated. I think he's had two of these already, which were pretty fun. And we'll see if they can recapture that magic. They go at it right away. There's a lot of bits here where they keep falling out of the ring pretty quickly because there is no ropes to keep them in here. But then they start hitting each other. There's like a pump kick from Trick here. But then eventually Eddie's on the outside and Trick goes after him. And Eddie just throws and backdrops, I think, Trick through the commentary desk here, which got a big reaction from everyone. And then he goes back in the ring, but Trick gets up and goes to powerbomb Eddie, but counters that into like a guillotine, like a triangle type of thing. And then Trick gets out of that and powerbombs him into the lumberjacks on the outside. A pretty cool spot there as well. They both get back in the ring, and Trick goes for like the side, like Booker T style kick here, but it's a counter. But then when Eddie turns around, he's hit with the Trick shot to the face, the high knee, and then Trick gets on top of him, just like it's UFC, just like it. It's exactly like it. And just starts pounding on him here with these hammer fists. I know my MMA, see? And the ref calls it. It is over.
Yeah,
it is all over right here as Trick Williams wins by, is it technical knockout? A TKO here?
TKO, a KO? Yeah.
So Trick Williams is king of the underground in a very, very fast Underground match. I felt like this was not anywhere near the lengths of some of the other ones, but
yeah, I clocked it at 3 minutes and 58 seconds. I'm like, holy crap, that was a really quick match. But yeah, it definitely, you know, makes a statement for Trick for sure. And it's like, this has got to be it with him and Thorpe, right? I feel like this is it. Like, they can't go, you know, they can't have any more matches after this.
No, absolutely. Like, it does a service to Trick because he did get screwed over. He was the champion. He's had this whole attitude. So him coming and just pretty quickly putting Eddie Thorpe out here definitely was like to help elevate Trick in a whole lot of way here, like this new whole version of him here. And that's exactly what we get when he grabs a microphone right after the match. And he says that Eddie Thorpe better learn how to squabble up, Eddie Thorpe.
Squabble up.
And then he gets right to the chase. Obafemi, bring your punk ass out here. This is when Oba comes out. Again, there's no ropes and all these people around the ring. Oba comes out, just starts ripping his shirt off, and then gets in the ring, and they're face-to-face. Trick, Oba, face-to-face here, but the lights go out. No, it's not The Undertaker, even though he told Oba it's his yard. Instead, it's the lights flicker, the music kind of plays, and it's the Dark State, the Mystery Rogue Athletes. They come out here, but as it's all trying to go down, Javon Evans gets in there, and he's in the ring now, and now everyone's fighting, and it's pandemonium as Vic Joseph is on the mic. Cats and dogs living together, and who does Javon hit the cutter on? Oba? Or was it this on Trick? I think he hit it on Oba by accident.
Yeah, I think so.
There's all these like guys fighting, and it looked like the mystery guys here, sorry, the Dark State, it looked like they were like backing away. They're like, oh, actually, you know what? We're good. We're good here. We're going to wait.
I think there's a reason for that. I don't know if you have the same idea that I have, but there's been a certain someone who's been turning darker lately with a heel turn.
That's what I'm saying.
He's never the one that gets attacked, right?
Exactly what I was saying earlier. Good. Like when they were attacking Tony, you could tease that like, hey, maybe there's something to do with whoever. But then it did make me think like, hey, Trick is kind of like, he's dealt with all this, at least Dion in the past. And like, I do think there is a connection to Trick, and like Trick is like the CM Punk to the Shield.
Yeah. You know? Even like his new look, the way he's like rocking the bandana, it's pretty much like almost the same type of gear. And I kind of want to go back and like, look at all the people the Dark State have attacked. And I feel like they've all had some sort of history with Trick, right? I mean, Tony D'Angelo has a history with Trick. I feel like the people that they've attacked are people that like Trick has feuded with. And the fact that they didn't like hit the ring, my first fear when I saw like all these people on the outside from like Evolve and LFG, I'm like, oh, are they going to like add more members here or like do some crazy thing? But no, they kept Dark State just there in a daze as their leader was in the ring. So I feel like that was done on purpose. I feel like, yes, Trick is the mastermind behind the Dark State.
I honestly do think that right now, at least, unless that's something they're trying to like lean in and make you think that at least. But another thing this made me think is we're not going to Obafemi versus Trick. We're going to Obafemi versus Trick versus Javon Evans. And hear me out, but that sounds a lot better, actually. Like Javon Evans has been awesome in ring, and I think he could add some like real flair to that title match. It makes it a whole lot more interesting, right? Like,
oh yeah,
I know we were robbed of the Trick versus Oba, and we instantly when that happened, like, oh, they're saving it for this weekend. But Javon has had this like huge come up in the last little while. That would it be so crazy that he's added to this match? I think it would make it a stronger match, a stronger main event for Sandalwood.
I agree. And also the triple threat gives you the capability of having like people interfere, right? No disqualification in triple threat matches. So you can have that element as well.
Yeah. And then think, Oba could not get pinned. So the Dark State could help Trick win and pin Javon, right?
You could have the Dark State holding Oba back while Trick goes ahead and gets the win. Yeah.
I do think we might go in the direction here for Stand and Deliver main event, Trick versus Javon versus Oba. I think I like that a whole lot more. We've seen the multi-man matches that WWE put together, especially with Javon, who's just insane lately. So
The triple threat match last Stand and Deliver stole the show, right?
Exactly. Oba, Dijak.
I think the same thing might happen tonight. And just Javon just bouncing off a Trick and Oba is going to be fantastic. I feel like that's the match to go with.
Yeah, I honestly think that is like a way more interesting match than just Trick and Oba. So super pumped about that. And then now we're trying to wonder if the Dark State dudes are attached to Trick or...
I think so.
It wouldn't make sense to be with Oba. It wouldn't make sense to be with Javon, but it could be I do think it is trick, but maybe that's like a big red herring right now. But yeah, overall, like the underground match kind of isn't rated against some of the other ones because it was just so quick and a bit of a...
It was more of
a,
an angle, yeah.
Yeah, it was more of an angle, but then it eventually did lead to Javon, Oba, and Trick. And I'm like, okay, I kind of like that direction, especially hot off the Ethan Page like feud. He's kind of, you know, red hot. So it makes a whole lot of sense. It's way more interesting. So ups and downs on this episode. I think, again, like that underground thing leading to the promo and ending, I kind of liked it. At least we're going somewhere and got to see the promo from the and the name from the Dark State. That was a plus. There was some like the Ricky Ridge thing definitely brought it down for me. I need to see something better from Ricky, and Ridge just wasn't the one to do it with. Ashanti and Carmen breaking up, that's tugging at my heartstrings. And there was some good stuff on it, but nothing that's like absolutely blew me away. A bit of a hangover from
Roadblock
and a lot of build for Stand and Deliver. And then
yeah, I think the 6-person match stole the show with the Culling and the D'Angelo family. If you have to go check out one match, that's the match to check out. But yeah, I do like how this show like rehabbed the Dark State, right? Like we've been saying for weeks now, like, well, what do they do with these guys? Like they came in and there's been nothing with them ever since. And now I feel like finally the ball's rolling. We're getting closer to Stand and Deliver. And I feel like it's going to be like a mystery here. It's going to be like a White Lotus mystery. Like who's behind all this, right? Who's behind the Dark State? So yeah, I think we're both on the same page of Trick of being. And the Chelsea Green stuff was fun too. Chelsea Green and Sol Ruka. Yeah. Like I can't wait till they run that back on SmackDown in like a couple months or so.
Yeah. Oh, like Sol Ruka being on the main roster. I mean, yeah. Post WrestleMania, there could be a potential of more call-ups and like
draft. She
could be
definitely another draft. Yeah.
Draft. Right. Yeah, that's right. I like seeing Chelsea on NXT. I think she's pretty funny as well, but Canadian being American is pretty funny also. Yeah. So there you go. That was us chatting about NXT. If you agree, disagree, let us know at Poison Rana Pod or in the chat right now, because we're still live. I do see one piece of feedback. Go to Facebook, search Poison Rana, give us a like, but you can lead to our little group where we share fun things and we post feedback threads. And I see your friend and mine, Sino, Fire Frank, the BDE champ, writes in, Booker was on so many ones tonight, from quoting songs to getting excited about major guns. Charmel is going to have a scolding session when he gets home. Anyways, justice for Tony D. Javon showing a lot of guts while Trick acting quite heelish. Sounds like the NXT title picture for Stand and Deliver just got a little more bouncy. Jada jumping the line by knocking out Jordan out of nowhere popped me. That 6-person tag might have been my match of the night. I think he agrees with us. Yep. He says, side note, that flash knockout of Eddie was quite similar to when I simmed this underground match on 2K the other day. Wow. Oh, I forgot. Nice. You can do the underground match now in 2K?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Thank you, Frank, for writing in, as always. Appreciate it. And yeah, like the main event instantly, that adds a lot more bounce to it with that. But I think he agrees with what we were saying. Have you played much of 2K?
I have. I've been loving it this year. Yeah, I played like the new island mode, which is like an open world like thing. It's crazy. Like you put on a luchador mask and you're fighting like the ghost of Andre the Giant. I don't know what's going on.
What?
Me and B will have a new what up though before the month is over, and I'm sure we're gonna be talking a lot about WWE 2K because they added so much stuff in this game. The story mode with the whole Samoan dynasty is pretty cool as well. The My Rise mode, where it's like it's kind of similar to the Dark State. You're getting like this group called the NXT Mutiny. It's a bunch of NXT people coming together and attacking the main roster. Yeah, pretty much. It's like Nexus. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with them and enjoying it a lot. I just can't wait for Penta. My son's like, we're going to get that Penta DLC. I'm like, July. It's going to be a while before we get him in the game. So he had to download a custom Penta for now.
Not going to lie. First time ever being able to play as Abyss in a WWE game. That is a crazy. There's some good. This New Jack. What's his finisher?
I have no clue. It's a song that he's playing the whole time he fights.
Yeah. Will they get that song? They won't get that song.
You brought up Abyss. Abyss would be a pretty cool partner for Hank and Tank. Put him in that Abyss gear for Mania weekend just for like a one-time thing. He's extreme, I think.
Put him in the Hall of Fame. Fuck it.
Oh, yeah. Why not? Oh, yeah, they will.
I am interested in – I'm seeing some of the stuff coming out about 2K, and it looks awesome, so I haven't played it yet, but
– The thing is, you got to upgrade. You don't have a PS5 yet, do you?
I have a PS4, and I can't lie, I don't really use it. I got a Switch like a year or two ago, and I'm more of a Switch person now, and they don't even have WWE on Switch, right?
No, but this island mode is exclusive for PS5.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so that's like the selling point right there. So it's like now might be the time. If you do want to upgrade, it might be the time. But yeah, it's I'm loving the game so far. It's probably like the most I've played a 2K game in years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I've heard good things. Like, it looks good too. Like, some of the stuff that they show on TV with the back and forth showing the graphics and stuff. And again, some of the characters that we'd be able to play as and everything. And it, you know, it's even like the community, the creator wrestler and all that stuff is gone insane from the days of.
They have Big Boom AJ. It looks just like him.
Maybe I do have to.
Now you have to get it now, right? Yeah. He's not in the fight forever. He's not in AEW fight forever. So you got to get him in 2K.
The PlayStation 5 Big Booms. That's right.
There we go.
Thank you, Sino, for filling in for Davey Portman on this show today. I had a blast chatting with you, as always. What you said, you got a new What Up Doe coming out in a week or so.
Yeah, I think we're going to record before the month is over. You know, it's been a while since we did a show last month. And like I said, 2K, I think we're both putting in a lot of time. And I was waiting for B to get his game, and he just got it this past weekend. So I feel like we're going to talk a lot about 2K for sure, and whatever else is going on. Kendrick is always dropping new music. He just dropped a couple songs with Playboi Carti. I'm sure we'll be talking about that as well.
And the Drake lawsuit dismissed.
he got. How do you get dissed by your own label? Like, oh my god, yeah.
Yikes! It's over. It's way over. Yeah. Well, I love What Up Though. It's a free show on the Poison Rana feed. Again, search Poison Rana. Any social media, whatever you use, Blue Sky, Twitter, Instagram, give us a follow. Poison Rana Pod. For all the other shows, Davey will be back. We'll be live this Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, to talk all about some Monday Night Raw, some SmackDown, some AEW Dynamite, maybe some Collision, maybe more. Who knows what we'll be talking about, but always appreciate everyone out there. PoisonRana.ca for links of everything, including our Patreon. And hey, if you're in the Toronto area, you can watch WrestleMania with us at Poison Rana Mania. Rana Mania, that's what I'll call it, sure. We'll be hanging out at Gabby's, 309 King Street West, Saturday and Sunday. Both nights we'll be doing a WrestleMania party. So we do it right. We do all the wrestling-themed drinks. We do the raffles and games and trivia on some. We got some crazy prizes this time around, and it's so much fun to have a community of fans getting together and watching wrestling and everything. So definitely excited to go to PoisonRana.ca for links for tickets to that. And again, both nights in Toronto, WrestleMania weekend. It's going to be fun. This season's WrestleMania season is the best time. And right now it seems like everyone's talking about wrestling. It's the most popular it feels like it's been in quite a long time. So yeah, looking forward to that. But again, thank you, Sino. Let people know, where can they find you?
Yep. Sino Evil, CNOEVIL. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on X, Instagram. Follow me for any, you know, any updates. Whenever I'm at a wrestling show, I tend to put pictures up and videos up. So I'm not sure when the next show I'll go to. I'm sure there's probably one coming up I'm not thinking of right now, but make sure to follow my socials for all those updates.
Absolutely. And of course, I am at the Bray D Twitter. I even try with Blue Sky. So if you do follow it, give me a follow. Go Blue Sky me. Is that what it's post? I don't know. Anyways.
Hey, and chop-tees.com. Look at my hat.
We're matching.
Yeah, look at this. Perfect. Come on. We're matching.
Chop-tees.com /PoisonRana. You can support. You can get Poison Rana merch, the Lucha Frog of Doom, toques, snapbacks, hoodies, sweatshirts, and What Up Doe Shot in the Dark merch. All the stuff there if you want to support. Appreciate all the support out there. Postmarks and NXT friends alike. We can't do this without you. And appreciate the love. The love is real out there. But that is it. That is all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And no one is safe.
Poison Rana.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.